that we may be teaching it at least for the rest of the year. My son was asking me, are you serious? I said, yes. You could teach on the knowledge of God until Jesus comes and never exhaust this subject. Praise the Lord. All right. We have, and somebody help us out. If you see any of our young adults, we don't want them to miss. Some of them started taking notes last week, and we want to make sure that they have the opportunity to continue where we left off from last week. Praise the Lord. For the audio recording, this is session 2 in the series, The Knowledge of God. Everybody say, The Knowledge of God. Amen. And notice I emphasize the three-letter word before knowledge, and that is the. Everybody say the. Now, you could have a knowledge of God and it not be correct. But the Bible is very specific when it deals with the knowledge of God. It says the knowledge of God. That means correct knowledge. That means precise knowledge. That means knowledge that comes from Scripture. If you have the knowledge of God and you see life through the lens of the knowledge of God, then the things that you normally could not or would not understand starts making more sense. When you see life and you see people and you see relationships and you see everything that can be seen, if you can see that through the lens of the knowledge of God, it will make a lot more sense. Praise the Lord. And life needs to make sense. Would you agree? Wouldn't you like some things in your life to make sense? Well, the key to having that sense is found in the knowledge of God. And I'm going to review some things that I stated last week. Now, I wasn't in here. I was over there. So just bear with me as I make some statements and quote a few verses of Scripture that is simply a review from last week. I will read Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. For those that have already made that note, you just turn there in your Scripture, whether it's on your electronic device, your phone, or your own Bible. Jeremiah 9 and 23, verses, or those two verses, 9 and 23 and 24. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory, that means boast, rave, or celebrate, in his wisdom. Neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Say that with me. So, let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth, that means he has insight and comprehension. And he knows or knoweth, not that he has known, but he knows and is continuing to know. It's a perpetual, progressive thing that he continues to perceive, to recognize, to discern, to experience, and have revelation of me. The Lord here is speaking. Glory in this, that you can understand and know me. That I am the Lord which exercise love and kindness, judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. The Amplified version, that portion of Scripture says, but let him who glories, glory in this, that he understands and knows me personally and practically, directly discerning and recognizing my character, that I am the Lord. So in this second session on the knowledge of God, I want to re-emphasize and emphasize the first time to you that having the knowledge of God and knowing God personally is absolutely vital. It is essential. It is important. It is necessary. And lastly, it should become your greatest priority. Somebody say necessity, importance, and priority. You knowing God should be your greatest priority, because you cannot follow one that you do not know. You can attempt to follow, or you can follow them that claim to know him. But if you're going to be a follower as an individual, you have to have not just knowledge, you have to have proper and correct and biblical knowledge of who it is you desire to follow. Amen? Notice when Jesus came on the scene, he says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. And then later on in Matthew 11, he says, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. And then he says, learn of me. Now, my elder Bible teacher, Brother Clifford Readout, he's helped me in some of these areas. And the thing that really revolutionized his life and is now revolutionizing my life is I'm not just studying the word to get a message or to get a lesson. In fact, I hardly ever do that ever. But like him, he made up his mind that he's going to study God. That God becomes the object that he pursues, that he searches, that he seeks, that he inquires, that he longs to know. And so in the course of your study or your devotion, make this your focus. Make this your priority. That every time I read the scripture, I want to know God. I want to know more about God. I want to know more about who he is, what he is, how he thinks, what he loves, what he hates, what he expects of me. I want to increase in my knowledge of God. Amen. And now, if you've read the scripture and you've read the New Testament, I think that you will recall that Jesus came to his own and his own received him not. Isn't that amazing that they had been claiming to serve him and walk with him and revere him for a long, long time? But this invisible God became visible. This invisible God that they claimed to serve, Jehovah, Elohim, El Shaddai, Adonai, they claimed that he was their God, but yet when he came to them, they did not even recognize him. In fact, when John saw him for the first time, John the Baptist says, and I knew him not, except for the sign that was given to John the Baptist. John the Baptist could not even recognize him. But how many knows God chooses to reveal himself because he wants you and I to know him? What father doesn't want his son to know him? Our God delights in making himself known. Amen. But I do realize that we're living in a world where many people are simply religious. And even in Christianity and even in Pentecost and even in apostolicism, we have a lot of religious people that are very deficient in their personal, intimate, scriptural, theological knowledge of the Almighty God. They're good Pentecostals and they've learned how to do certain things, but they lack the knowledge of God that is necessary for them to stand and to perpetuate true Christianity. Does that make sense? And I know we're all kind of in the process. You know, we're all on different levels of knowledge and so forth. But hopefully we're all focused on the same thing, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing him and obeying him. Praise the Lord. So I realize that's a common problem today. And I've been guilty. Now, I've only been in church for 20-something years. I've been guilty of preaching scripture, quoting scripture, but not knowing the God of the scripture, not knowing or understanding God. Now, I've been guilty. I think you can learn how to preach because the Holy Ghost gives you that anointing, that inspiration. And you can learn how to communicate scripture, but still not know the Lord. Now, this was the case in Samuel's life. Samuel was taught the word. Samuel learned how to minister. He learned all the tabernacle tactics. He learned the ways of ministry. He learned the service. He learned what to do, when to do, how to do it, how often to do it. He learned all of those things, but he didn't know God. He had not had a personal encounter with God. He did not know the voice of God. It took him a little time. Amen. In fact, what initiated that is God began to reach out to Samuel and communicate with him. Amen. Because God always initiates the relationship. It's not you. It's not your goodness. It's not because you got up and just had a great idea. It's because God initiated this reconciliation and this relationship. Somebody say, he's so good. And he wants you to know this. Now, in the Old Testament, the statement was made, they knew the acts of God, or they knew the works of God, but they did not know the ways of God. And the reason why they did not know the ways of God is because they did not know God. They only knew the works. And I think that it is a great possibility for us to live life, to be Pentecostal or Christian or apostolic or whatever you want to refer to yourself as. I do believe it is possible for you to live your life and go through church routine and even do the work of ministry and yet continue to remain in a state of ignorance that is not satisfying with God, that's not pleasing to God, is what I'm saying. So as for me and my house, I want to serve the Lord that I know. Not just serve the Lord that you know. I want to serve the Lord that I know personally. Somebody said, I know him. I believe in him. Praise God. So it's very, very important that we know him. If you turn in the Bible really quick to Hosea chapter 4, verses 1, and I'm going to read verse number 6. Hosea chapter 4, verses 1, and then turn quickly to verse number 6. Thank you to those who have brought scripture and are making note. Hosea chapter number 4, verses number 1, if you'll throw it on the screen. Then we'll move quickly to verse number 6. Let's read that together. Hear the word of the Lord. The word hear means hark. It means pay attention. It also means to understand. Everybody say understand. Understand the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land because there is no truth, no mercy, nor what? Nor knowledge of God in the land. Now turn to verse number 6. Verse number 6. My people are destroyed for what? Not for lack of power, not for lack of enthusiasm, not for lack of holiness, not for lack of ministry. Hello? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Your level of knowledge is going to be tested. What do you think faith is? What do you think the basis of faith is? The basis of faith is your knowledge of God. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And listen, destruction can take a long time when it comes to a human soul, simply because God is grace, is full of grace and love and mercy and compassion and long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. But he said, my people are destroyed. Notice he didn't say the world. He said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Now that's a pretty sobering statement. I mean, when the Lord says that to your face, you're like, that makes me feel a little uncomfortable. When the Lord stands to your face and says, you're destroyed and my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, and because you've rejected knowledge, I will reject thee. He didn't say, I have rejected thee. He says, I will reject thee. I don't want that to happen. I don't want to reject knowledge. That's one reason why I love Sunday school, because I'm doing the opposite of rejecting knowledge. I think people who shun Sunday school and they think it's boring, I think what they're actually doing is they're rejecting knowledge, because God is there to communicate, to expound, to give understanding, to educate, but yet people just want the feel good, the experience. You know what I'm saying? Just the feeling, just the Pentecostal experience, just the renewal of the Holy Ghost. But he says, you're not destroyed because of all those things. You're destroyed because you reject knowledge. And it's a particular knowledge. It's the knowledge of God. Amen. Here's one solution. You ready? Here's one solution. And this is what God can do, and this is what we can ask for. This is in Jeremiah chapter 24, Jeremiah 24. Jeremiah 24, verse number 7. Let's see here. Jeremiah 24, verse number 7. And I will give them a heart to know me. Isn't that wonderful? That Lord said, I will give them a heart to know me. I looked up that word, Brother Powell. Brother Cowell, I'm sorry. I know we got Brother Powell. Brother Cowell. It's easy to get mixed up sometimes. He said, I will give them a heart. If you look up that word in the original language, that what that word means is I will give them a inner man. I will give them a inner man. I will give them a inner will, soul, and appetite to know me. To know here in this context means to recognize me, to perceive me, to experience me, and to learn me. Isn't that a wonderful thing that we get to learn God? Now, how many has heard that statement, the Lord works in mysterious ways? Of course he does to those that don't know him. But if you know him, then it won't be a mystery anymore. And as you increase in your knowledge of God, it's not mysterious anymore. It's only a mystery when you don't know him. You don't know his ways. You don't know his how he does things and why he does them. You don't know his character. But I am not content with my past level of knowledge. Amen. I want to know him daily. I don't want to just have the knowledge of God. I want to know him relationally. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You can't walk with someone you don't know. Because if you try to, you may be walking with something else or someone else. You may be walking with a spirit, but not know who that spirit is or what that spirit is. So if God doesn't give us eyes to see, ears to hear, then we cannot have eyes to see and ears to hear. He will give us the heart to know him. If you want to know him more, why don't you just raise your hands and tell him about it? I want to know him. I want to know him. I want to know him. I want to perceive him. I want to recognize him. Hallelujah. I want to experience him. I want to learn him. I want to be in right relationship with him. Hallelujah. 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 And God has made this possible for every one of us, for every one of us to know him. He delights in being known. But if we don't seek him, we won't know him. If this doesn't become a priority, then you'll probably never know him the way that you can know him or should know him. And as I said last week, and I think it's worth repeating, that knowing him and understanding him affects everything. Knowing him and understanding him affects everything. It affects your worship. It affects your prayer life. You ever listen to someone pray? Hey, God, you guys need to be in class. Go. You ever listen to someone pray? And after a few minutes of prayer, you start thinking, wow, they don't know God very well. Because their prayer life reveals their knowledge. Their knowledge of God. Your knowledge and your understanding of God affects everything. It affects your prayer. It affects your lifestyle, your role, your relationships, your responsibilities in life, how you respond to situations. Amen. Not just the knowledge of God, but you knowing God perpetually, progressively, relationally. It affects your relationships, your responsibilities, your responses in life. Amen. It affects how you see yourself. It affects how you see others. Amen. It affects your ministry, your preaching, your teaching, your testifying to others. Amen. Knowing and understanding God ultimately, and I want to emphasize this, it ultimately affects our relationship with him. How you interact with God, your involvement with God, your participation with God, your cooperation with God, your knowledge of him affects that. As well as your relationship with others reveals your knowledge, not just your intellectual knowledge, but your personal and experiential knowledge of the Lord. I wrote here, just to throw this out there, the key to knowing and understanding the kingdom of God is to know the King. You get to know the King and you'll understand the principles of the kingdom and the ways of the kingdom and the order of the kingdom. Somebody say the key to knowing the kingdom of God is to know the King. Knowing God and having the knowledge of God makes your ministry more effective and more impacting. Because you can be a great communicator but not impact anything. I realize I'm in a spirit-filled church here today. And you know the difference between just communicating words and impacting people. Amen. We have the Word and the Spirit. So we have the revelation, we have the knowledge, and we have the ability and the authority to impact this world. But if you have a very deficient knowledge of God, then you're probably not going to impact too many people. Because it's the knowledge of God that empowers your Christianity. Without knowing God and having the knowledge of God, then your Christianity is probably just an enthusiastic religion. It's the knowledge that empowers Christianity. It's that knowledge. Praise the Lord. Johnny James, I was listening to him last night. I love to hear Brother Johnny James. He's in his 80s now. I'm sure some of you remember him when he used to minister here. But Johnny James says, you can't be much for God if you're not much with God. When he said that, I'm like, that makes a lot of sense. You can't be much for God if you're not much with God. Does that make sense to you? It makes sense to me. And furthermore, if you don't know God, you can't share God. You ever went out in public and you wanted someone to know God or at least to come to church, but you didn't know what to say? Well, that reveals your level of knowledge. That reveals how much you know and how often you're knowing God. It's a bad feeling, isn't it? I mean, I've been in places and I wanted to do good. I wanted to say something. I wanted to impact them. I wanted to reach them, especially a family member, a relative, a friend. But I've been in those places and in those moments where I didn't have much to say. And that revealed my lack of knowledge, my lack of perpetually and progressively and experientially knowing Him. And if I'd have spent time knowing God the way I could and should have been knowing Him, then my head would not have been empty. But if I stay in the Word, I will always have something to say. Hallelujah. If I stay in the Word, why don't you tell yourself, if I can just stay in the Word, I will always have something to say, and I will have the anointing and the inspiration to say it. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's one thing that I want of my children. I want them to know God. I want them to know God. It's very easy to know church, lifestyle, all that we do, our customs, our traditions, everything about how we live and do church. That's great, and they should learn that at least by observation. Most of us learn by observation, not because we study. But I want them to know God. I want them to know God. Because Daniel chapter 11, verses number 32 says, but they that do know, not they that have known, but they that currently, amen, consistently and presently know God shall be strong and they shall do exploits. Hallelujah. They don't have to work it up. It just flows out of them. Come on. If you want to be powerful for God and powerful in ministry, then increase in your knowledge of God. Increase in your understanding of who He is, what He is, what He thinks. Amen. How He works, how He operates. Increase in your knowledge of God. And you'll be a more effective witness and minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Is this making any kind of sense? It's kind of a big classroom we got here today. praise the Lord. Because knowledge does empower. Amen. Exodus chapter number 6, verses 2 through 7. I'll go there very quickly. God spake to Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. He says, I am Yehovah. I guess that's correct pronunciation of that. He said, I am Yehovah, which means the self-existing one. It's where we get the word Jehovah. I am Yehovah, which means the self-existing one. I appeared to Abraham and Isaac and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. That word in Hebrew there, the God Almighty is El Shaddai or El Shaddah, the mighty one, the most powerful one. He says, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And then I'm going to skip down to verse number 7. I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. This word God in the original language is Elohim, which means the true God, the supreme God, ruler, and judge. I will be to you the true God, supreme God, ruler, and judge. And you shall know, everybody saying, you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of Egypt. Amen. So it's vital that we know him. Now let me go back. But before I go any further, and I realize I'm very, very short in time, limited in time. Let me go back through these notes here. Now, why are you saying this? Why are you teaching this? Well, let me give the New Testament church a reason why it is important to know God. Yes, 2 Peter chapter number 3, verse 18. Here it is. Turn there really quickly if you have a Bible or a way of pulling up a verse of Scripture. 2 Peter chapter number 3. Now, I'm not going to go into all the verses that tell the New Testament church why it's important to know God, but I'll read one or two. Now, we mentioned this last week, so young adults, don't get upset if you have to hear this again. Amen. We're transformed by the renewing of our minds. 2 Peter 3:18. Look at somebody and say, but grow. No more excuses, but grow. Come on, look at somebody and tell them it's time to grow. Not maintain, not survive, not exist, but grow. Come on, just lift your hands and say, I'm going to grow. Come on, just lift your voice and say, I'm going to grow. Because it is spoken to me by the Apostle Peter, in fact. He says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge. I emphasize the. Because there's a lot of people that claim to know God, but the knowledge that they're communicating is not in line with the Scripture. Therefore, they're communicating under the inspiration of a spirit that is not God. And it was the apostles that says, though we or an angel preach any other gospel, let him be what? Accursed. So it's not just knowledge, it is the knowledge. But grow in grace and in the knowledge. That means in the intelligence, the understanding, the correct, the perfect, the precise knowledge, recognition, and perception of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. 2 Peter 1, verses 2 and 3, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the what? Through the knowledge. If you want a multiplication of grace and peace in your life, and I know that you need it because we all need it. If you want that to become a reality, then it comes through the knowledge of God and of our and of Jesus our Lord. The word and means even or indeed Jesus our Lord. According to his divine power, he has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge. I think knowledge is the way that you access all the things that God has given to you. Does that make sense? The knowledge of God is the key, amen, that gives you access to the things that pertain to life and godliness. The Bible says it's through the knowledge of him. Hallelujah. Woo. My. This is empowering. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Colossians 1 verses 9 and 10. The last phrase is increasing in the knowledge of God. Look at somebody and say increase. We just want to increase in blessings. But the Bible says you need to increase in the knowledge of God. Because he has all things. Praise the Lord. Okay, let me go back to where I was before. I backtracked. We were just in Exodus. We're going to go into some other scriptures here in Jeremiah in just a moment. But before I turn to Jeremiah 29, I want to make a few statements. If you read the book of Ezekiel, particularly the book of Ezekiel, you will see many, many, many times where there are statements like this, that they might know me, that they might know that I am the Lord, over and over and over and over. God said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to work this. This is going to happen so that they can know me. Amen. I'm going to work this way so that they can know me. I'm going to respond this way so that they can know me. I'm going to triumph over their adversaries so that they can know me. So it's all about knowing him. That's the foundation of Christianity. Do you think the foundation of Christianity is just Acts 2:38? No. Before there was Acts 2:38, there was the Acts 2:36. And then Acts 2:37. So the foundation of the church is not Acts 2:38. The foundation of the church is the knowledge that he is both Lord and Christ. And when they heard this, then they said, what must we do? Now Acts 2:38 is the building blocks. But the knowledge that he is both Lord and Christ is the foundation of the building. Hello? Because we can't lay any other foundation than that which has already been laid, and that is Jesus Christ. And before you can know Jesus Christ, you got to know theology. You got to know the God that created all things. Because when this revelation came, they didn't have the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, Corinthians. That was like 30, 40, 50, and 60 years later. All they had was Old Testament scripture. Amen. Hallelujah. In fact, when these things were written, when these books were written, they had to go back to the scripture and seek after God, so that God would illuminate what he had revealed through his word. You know, he reveals it through his word, but he illuminates it by his spirit. Hallelujah. The revelation of God is in the pages of the Holy Bible. That's why we need to love the Bible. That's why we need to look to the Bible. That's why we need to study the Bible. That's why we need to believe the Bible. That's why we need to preach what's in the Bible, because it's the revelation of God. Hallelujah. And God, the Word, became flesh. And now we can behold him. We can see him. We can touch him. We can talk to him. Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? God chose to become relatable. God chose to make himself known to his own creation. My, my, my. So in Ezekiel, you'll find that over and over again, that you might know me, that you might know me, that I am the Lord, that I am the Lord, that I am the Lord. He wanted to get it so thick in their spirit that I am the Lord. I'm the only God. I'm the true God. I'm the creator. I'm the great, mighty one. There's no one but me, over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, that we might know him. And Paul made these statements, that I might know him. After years in the perils and trouble and all kinds of challenges and difficulty of ministry and propagating and publishing and breaking into new territory, he said, I want to know him. 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 This man was a scholar. He was a student. He became a master teacher. But even after all of those years of ministry, he said, I want to know him. I want to know him. I want to know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. I want to know him. Amen. If that desire is in you, why don't you just say it right now? Hallelujah. I want to know him. It doesn't matter if you've been in church for 20 years, 30 years, or you were born in the church. Amen. You still need to have a desire. It still needs to be your number one priority to know him. Because you can't please someone you don't know. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And the faith that was once delivered unto the saints is the faith that I'm preaching right now. The faith that was once delivered unto the saints is the knowledge of who and what he is. Come on, we're going to praise the Lord right now. Hallelujah. God is not a triune being. He is a supreme, unique being. Woo, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of our God. Adam and Eve didn't have to seek to know him, because God came to them daily, regularly. God's presence, God's voice, just God speaking to them. They didn't have to seek after God, because he was always there. He was always there. And then there was those times where he really manifested himself to his creation, to Adam and Eve. And they came into a greater awareness of God when he manifested himself through voice, through communication. Isn't that amazing? Hallelujah. Praise God. But now, because we're not in the garden, the fall of man, the sin of man, we now have to seek after God. Now, I'm a minister of the gospel, and I spent many of my days and weeks and years, I would be praying, asking God for a message, looking for a sermon, looking for a message. I'm just being transparent. Now I just look for God. I just look for God. I just seek God. And that's what the Bible says that we should do. We're not in the garden anymore. We're not in that place where we don't have to seek God. We're in a place where we have to seek God if we're going to find God. If we're going to receive the knowledge of God, we have to seek after it. And it's not all left up to you, but you do have your part. You do have a responsibility. And here it is, Jeremiah 29 and 13. I'm fixing to close. Jeremiah 29 and 13. And you shall seek me. That word seek means you resort to me, you investigate me, you study me, you consult with me, you inquire of me, you pursue me. You shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Deuteronomy 4:29 says it like this. But if from thence, no matter where you are, even now, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If you seek the Lord thy God, you will find him. If you seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Psalms 34, as we stand. Psalms 34, verse number 10. The young lions do lack. He didn't say the old lions, the tired, worn out lions. He says the young lions do lack, and they suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not want. They shall not be without. They shall not lack. They shall not have need of any good thing. The key is seeking him, not seeking blessings and stuff, but seeking him. That is the key. Seek him and find him, because him, he has all things. And no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And you and I cannot walk uprightly unless we know who we're walking with. Can we praise the Lord right now? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. We get to know him, we get to know him, we get to know him. I have many more scriptures. I'll close with this. This is a very, very familiar passage of scripture, and then we'll dismiss. Deuteronomy 6 and verse number 4. Hear. Now, Brother Sean, you can say it in Hebrew. Do you remember that? Run up here real quick. Say it to us in Hebrew.
Shema Israel Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad.
There you go. Praise the Lord. Now listen. Listen, guys. If you read Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, there are at least three things that stand out that God commands his people. Three things that stand out in Deuteronomy chapter number 6, verses 1 through 6, the three things are this. You ready? He commanded. That means he ordered, he charged, and he commissioned them. Somebody say the word commissions us. God commissions us through his word. He commissioned, he ordered, he charged his people to do at least three things. You'll find it in these six verses. Number one, obey him. Number two, hear him. And number three, love him. The word hear, if you look up the original language, the word hear means hearken, and it also means to understand. He is commanding, he is charging, he is ordering his people to obey him, to understand him, and to love him. And the number fourth thing in verse 7 is teach others to do the same. Praise God. Hallelujah. Can we just thank the Lord for the privilege of knowing him today? There is no one like our God. There is no one like our King. There is no one like him. And the beautiful thing is he has chosen to make himself known to us. His own, the people that are called by his own name, he wants us to know him, to understand him. Don't glory in riches, don't glory in gifts, don't glory in ability, don't glory in wisdom. But if you're going to glory in something, glory in this, that you know and that you understand him, that he is God. Woo, hallelujah. Can we praise him? Just lift your voice and praise him, because he truly is worthy to be praised. Woo! Hallelujah. Now that concludes session number 2 of the knowledge of God. And we'll continue with our young adults on session number 3 next week. God bless you. You can take a moment, refresh yourself, and we'll begin our main service here in just a few minutes.